From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show.
The sound you hear is the first glass of elderflower champagne being poured. Philip Murta, the producer of said champagne. You've spoken this at Old Bridge Country Fair. I've yet to taste it.
Here you go.
Can you explain to those, actually, some people would know the story, but why haven't I tasted your elderflower champagne before, even though you gave me 3 bottles of it?
That's because you didn't drink it in time. Your bottle's exploded.
What colours am I seeing here, Philip?
Hard to describe. It's kind of a yellowy, greeny, very light greeny hue.
I'm just taking a taste of it now for the first time ever, and it's probably the most refreshing drink I've ever tasted in my life. If you know the smell of elderflowers, which I do, it's obviously reticent of that. And that's a very hard thing to explain if you've never smelt elderflower before. It's you know, it's like knowing the smell of wood, for example. But it is...
You can drink that, put that whole bottle inside, you know, it won't have any effect on you. You'll be grand.
What percent are we looking at this moment?
It's only been going for about 4 weeks. I'd say you nearly have to have it up to 8 weeks before you get a few percent of alcohol. There's probably only 1 or 2% most at this stage.
But people can still make elderflower champagne?
Oh yeah, no problem. Yes, the flowers are still blooming. Still blooming. They're flower. Right now they're actually going to berry, but they're also still blooming as well at the moment. I was just passing by one tree there just about 5 minutes ago.
My God.
All there. Away you go. Go on down.
I have to say, at 1%, and there's only about a litre of this, it'll be gone, I'd say, probably in about 5 minutes. And I'll probably get as much kick out of this now as a glass of water, but as refreshments go, this is the absolute ultimate. The joys of living in the wild and knowing what to pick and what to do with it is even more so to the point.
Okay, thanks, Peter. I think we better stop you there before you kind of lose the run of yourself. My name is Niall O'Keefe. This is The Sod Show with Peter Dunnigan, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. And this week, Peter's taking a look at the Spirit of Folk Festival, pumpkins for Halloween, and how, among other things, you can contribute to the show using modern technology. Before all that, of course, all the latest news and updates in the world of gardening from Peter himself, who I believe has composed himself, and we can go back to him now. Peter.
Yes, indeed, Niall, it is the 21st of September, and welcome to The Sod Show, Dublin's only garden radio show, brought to you by greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. And boom, it is the Spirit of Folk Festival 2012 kickoff weekend. Camping site opens what time? 3 p.m. Time of The Sod Show. So as soon as this is finished, boom, I'm going up the country. Cue some canned heat, Niall. And back to it. Last week I did ask you for your news, your information, your trinkets of note, and you did come back to me and say, hey Pete, we got some things we would like you to know about. Top of the pile has to be this little beauty, which is the Dublin Parking, ING in brackets, Day. Dublin Parking Day sounds quite boring, but wait until you hear this, because this Friday Dublin will have at least 20 more parks than it did the day before. It's all part of Dublin Parking Day. Artists, designers and citizens have been encouraged to turn parking spaces into temporary public parks. And this is the second time this innovative idea has been undertaken in Dublin. Now, here's the bit where it gets a little bit odd, because I didn't know about this. Yeah, I know I'm expected, or you think, or you might think, that anything that's going on in the country that is green, that I would be aware of. But, you know, Ireland has changed in the events calendar since maybe Bloom, maybe the electric picnics, maybe, I mean, when you think back on the music festivals, and it was just Fela. Does anybody remember that? Yeah. And now you look at it and you've got, well, Spirit of Folk, you've got Van Testival, you've got all of those little trinkets going on, all of those down by the sea, everything, it's all there. none to the point. Here's one of these that I would like to get into. And if you think you might like to get involved for next year and make it more than 20 more parks, I don't even know if that's allowed. They said that this year's closing date was the 26th of August. Note that down your calendar where you put the kiddies' birthdays and the email address for getting your request in or your suggestions or how does it work kind of emails. Try it. DublinParkingDay@gmail.com. It's very, very, very simple. Moving on. At the National Ploughing Championships taking place the 25th to the 27th of September in New Ross in County Wexford. Good friend of the Sod Show and its predecessor, Pat Fitzgerald, will have his Kennedy Irish Primroses on sale. If you want to know how famous Pat Fitzgerald is, let me backtrack. If you want to know how famous the Kennedy Irish Primrose range are, Google it, number one. And number two, it's not until you hear that the American Primrose Society have been in contact with Pat recently in relation to the wonderful range of Irish heritage primroses, and they will be hoping to write them up in their authoritative international journal later this year. In horticultural terms, that is absolutely huge. The nice thing and the smart thing that Pat is doing, if you are headed to the National Ploughing Championships, is Beechdale Plants Plus Garden Centre will have them on sale. And they'll be selling them as plugs. So when you're carrying around all your brochures for ZR tractors or Massey Ferguson's, depending on which you should choose, Pat will be selling them in plugs. How big is a plug? It's about the size of a thimble with a plant sticking out the top of it. Light and easy and nice and smart to carry around so you don't batter the bejesus out of them. Straight on from that. Oh, yes, at the Spirit of Folk Festival tomorrow, kicking off at about 1:45, yours truly will be doing a talk on Gardening is for Grandmoms and Grow Your Own is for Hippies, or at least that is the title of it. If you are there, do come along. I'm at Donegan Gardens on Twitter. You cannot but hear me speak and my wonderful voice, maybe. Other than that, again, you'll find the wee posse in tow. We shall be going around making Indian sounds from a John Wayne movie. I just know we won't. Yeah, come along. I'll be in the ecology area. And if you're a little bit green-minded, you'll also find the Organic Centre will also be there. Other news of note, I will be teaching a garden course kicking off next Wednesday in St. Tiernan's Community College in Dundrum. It's a 10-week gardening course. If you wish to get involved, again, you will find this and all of the show notes up on sodshow.com. In other news, the Community Garden Network, they are communitygardennetwork.ning.com. Don't ask me what the .ning thing is. It sounds a little bit like something from a Star Trek film. But the website is communitygardennetwork.ning.com. And the Community Garden Group was set up to support community gardening in Ireland and Northern Ireland. And they're delighted to announce that they have now a presence online. If you're involved with community gardening, and here's where it becomes important, and my sense of humour goes to the wayside, and you're thinking about setting up a garden, or you're in a position to support a community gardening with or without funding or material donations or time, head across to their new site and take a look. You will find in there all of the friends. It's one of those things, you know, and it can be a little bit of a lonely place to an extent when you're trying to find and research information on, you know, how do I go? Where do I get that piece of land? How do I get people involved? And all of a sudden you realise, well, hold on a second, there is a really large posse spread all over the country that has done this already. And you just put up your hand and ask the question. And so I suppose the community gardening website is a very, very, very smart piece of kit to have. Modern technology, when I think about it, and all those years ago when I set up my own, I was like 25, and you had to go out and you had to take photographs of gardens, and then you had to go and get them developed, and, you know, jeepers almighty, like, you know, bring back the fax machine, says you. You know, it was one of them. We're almost heading into Mark Boland T-Rex era, into the telex, although I wouldn't be old enough to remember that. Again, thank you to Miss D. Sewell. She is at Greenside Up Veg on Twitter if you wish to find out more about the Community Gardening Network, or at least Dee's Twitter account is the one that I do have if you're looking to find out more about that. Well done, Dee, and well done to everybody involved in the Community Gardening Network. It'll be, I'm sure, a brilliant resource for those out there looking to bring an idea to fruition, pardon the cliched pun. Now, in a world gone mad to an extent and pumpkins on the horizon, conversation again cropped up last week's show. Well, I put out a note saying that I believe there's going to be a shortage of pumpkins this year. That was based on conversation I had with one local gentleman, good friend of mine, Damien Hickey, who grew pumpkins last year and had problems to an extent. Take a listen to the issues that he had last year when I had a chat with him. Standing in the middle of 1 acre, approximately, of pumpkin plants. Damien, you might be binning these in the next couple of weeks. What's the situation? What's the story?
Well, there's red spider coming onto them now. So if the red spider doesn't kill them, I can't see the pumpkins being fit for the Halloween market. So maybe a case of just ripping them up and cutting their losses at the moment.
The alternative is the predatory red spider mite, which comes on the piece of cardboard as the eggs kind of stuck to it. That's not an option.
I don't think there's any value in the crop itself. It was just an experiment. We had early spuds in here just after our early spring, and it was just an experiment. Put a few pumpkins in and see what happened. They're probably too late being planted, so they're actually direct sown, not planted as such. Mm. And they were sown at about 10, 12 foot apart, which we thought was a lot of space per plant, but considering how they've grown, not really. Since some of the plants are more than 12 foot long already.
Yes, I will give you. Well, I think they're kind of 12 foot radius.
It would seem, yeah, they grow in every direction. Mm. Each plant seems to have 3-4 main stems, and it just spreads out in the whatever it wants.
Looks pretty impressive in flower, though. Do you ever see pumpkins making it as a cut flower in Ireland?
No, the flower itself is extremely delicate. It only lasts for a day or so. The male flower opens and dies within the day. I don't know what pollinates them. I suppose insects, flies are coming in and pollinating them. I don't actually see any female flowers open, but the female flower is there on them.
Yeah, no, we spotted one earlier on, I think, on video, but it's few far between.
Yeah, there's much more male flowers than there is female flowers. And the male flower seems to be more towards the centre of the plant, where the female flower is out towards the end of the stems, and that's where the pumpkin itself will develop.
There you have it, folks. If you do nothing else, you should check out the difference between the male and the female pumpkin flower. It actually is something quite pretty for such an unusual fruit. I'm gauging, by the way, Damien, that these are the jack-o'-lantern variety, the typical, as we know them, pumpkin plant.
Typical pumpkin, yeah, the large, typical orange, nicely shaped pumpkin.
And curiosity killed the cat, how long does it take from point of coming into flower, the male coming out, to actually producing the fruit?
Absolutely no idea. This is our first year growing them, it was an experiment.
Big difference then between doing it en masse for semi-commercially, you might say, and domestically grown one or two at your back garden.
Exactly, yeah. It was just, as you say, just put these in after the potatoes were taken out, and it was just to see what would happen. I believe they were sown too late. That was the problem.
Okay.
They should have been sown straight after the potatoes were taken out, but we left it too long.
Horses for courses, I suppose.
Exactly, we live and learn.
This year, when I spoke to Damien, he was saying to me that they did get the sowing dates ever so slightly out of sync, mainly because they had potatoes in there, and they were going to have to maybe start trying to grow the pumpkins, the jack-o'-lantern variety, on in plug trays, a bit like Pat Fitzgerald's primroses, and maybe give them a head start of about a week or three. What he also said was that the big problem they have is the lack of sunlight that we have had in this country this year. And when you think about it, apart from the one corker of a week about 2-3 weeks ago, it hasn't really been sunburn factor at all in the country. But Damien wouldn't be alone, and about 2-odd weeks ago again another phone call came in saying that, hey, listen Pete, do you know where I can buy pumpkins, do you know where I can get pumpkins, because the slugs basically had a ski slope all the way down with the lashings of beautiful rain that this country gets. Well, we had an overabundance of it this year, but they annihilated the place. The problem outside of that is that every single year since my blog has been on the go and since I started writing about pumpkins, you, the general public, tend to get in touch with me and say, hey, do you know where we can go and pick our own pumpkins? Do you know where I can bring my kids to pick our own pumpkins? And I know that there is the Virginia Cavan Pumpkin Festival. I know that. But where can we go and get them? And this year, it kind of got a little bit out of hand. Not out of hand, because outside of the phone calls, and for those who are willing to put their name online or in lights, Leona Daly got involved and she says, hi, Peter. There were some nice compliments in there, but she was also wondering if I could put her in touch. She was looking to buy about 20 to 30 pumpkins in various sizes for her son's christening and the birthday. She contacted local stores to ask them to order, but they all said no. And she knows that I'd know some growers and whatever the case may be, and she was just wondering if I could be of help. Yeah, pause that one, because somewhere in between I got an email from Wells House and Garden, and Sabine was in touch and she says something similar. Good morning, Peter. We have a Halloween event taking place here at Wells House and Garden, and I'm looking for lots and lots of pumpkins for the front of the house. I was hoping that there would be or is a farm somewhere in Ireland where we could order them. Wells House and Garden, you'll find them online, and again you'll find the show notes for this up on sideshow.com if you're looking to get in touch. It sounds like a promising event, and down in the County Wexford again we are headed there. Tommy did respond, thanks very much Tommy, and also came in Declan Canning. Declan says, I'm the guy from Summerhill, County Meath, with the pumpkin patch, and despite the bad summer he expects that he will be bringing in a pumpkin crop which he should be able to make open to the public as a pick your own pumpkin patch. That's a lot of Peter Pumpkin picked a pickling pepper. From the 19th to the 31st of October, it will be open nonetheless. He will have about a half an acre with about 12 varieties. The variety you are generally looking for, however, is the Jack-O-Lantern variety, as Damien had noted. If you want to get in touch with Declan, you can do so in the following ways. You can find him on Facebook. He is a Mead Pumpkin, singular on both of them, and he says he will be more than able to supply Leona and Wells House if they contact him. He's on mobile 086 037 6583. That's 086 037 6583. Yeah, thank you so very, very much for that indeed, Declan.
Well, that's a whole lot of palaver over pumpkins there with Peter, and I assure you he's much better at those kind of tongue twisters than I am. Anyway, you're back in the studio with me, Niall O'Keefe. This is The Sod Show here on Dublin City FM. We're here every Friday from 3 o'clock in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. In a few minutes, we're going to show you how modern technology can help you have your say, tell us your gardening story, and have your bit of input into The Sod Show. And the first person to do that via audioboo.fm this week is Bernie Goldback. That's, as I said, in a few minutes' time. But first up, it's time for a musical break. And since 2009, these guys have been bringing folk music to the people of Dublin. They began life as a ballad band who secured a number of residencies in pubs and gradually began to write their own material and left the world of pub playing to perform at nearly every major festival in Ireland in 2010 and 2011. Well, this group are Wicker Bones, and they'll be performing at the Spirit of Folk Festival from their EP, Concatenation, which has been released as a digital album available for download in your choice of 320 kilobit MP3 or FLAC or just about any other format you could possibly desire, they say. This is Wicker Bones with Love Song.
I'd love to sing an upbeat song, full of joy and youthful verve. I'd love to tell you nothing's wrong, and that your house and car are well deserved. I'd love to paint the world in sound and soothe your mind to gentle sleep. Maybe if the life I'd found had shown me that it's only love we'll reap. I'd love to tell you none will starve or find themselves without a home. I'd love to tell you no one ever had to sell themselves for small amounts of money. I'd love to walk you round the streets and show you where no one will sleep. Maybe if we'd put in place laws to keep the poor and vulnerable safe.
This is a garden boo from the back garden of One Cachinerie in Cashel. Check it out, man. I gave away my home address. Write that down. No one to rob me when I'm not here. If you try that, you're going to have to deal with a very vicious cat and a serious amount of implements that are going to trip you up. There's also nothing of value inside the house, so move on. Now, Peter Donegan, the gardener. I know you're listening. Put our carrots in this week. I'm trying to measure temperature in the ground because I know it's past this magic grow point, and I'm sure that soil overnight is above 8 degrees centigrade. Morning time, like the back garden here, is above 10, and it's not even 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking to you with the birds. The birds are kind of upset. I haven't brought anything out for them this morning, so they're queuing up, waiting for an opportunity to strike. Hey, tell you what, we have rocket lettuce sowed 3 days ago, now coming through the rich soil that we laid down for them. No carrots, no sign of the carrots yet. So what we've got, carrots and a small little cutout, rocket lettuce, 4 tomatoes, 5 actually, ready to rock, and we've got 6 buds and strawberries. I would prefer to make the whole back area here into productive vegetables, but Ruth has the vote. Actually, she has more cash than I do. She goes, hits the garden center for lunch, and normally spends more money on vegetables that she can grow or plants that she can put into the soil than food that she'll consume for lunch. So anyway, I get a lot of joy out of just tilling the soil. And what I'm doing here is just kind of breaking up dirt clods. When I was a kid, I would spend hours, I actually forget this, I would spend hours in the garden outside the house with beans, corn, cucumbers, carrots, radishes, and watermelons. I want to do that growing that takes a big mound and produces succulent juices. I'm not sure how Ireland treat me if I try to do watermelon, but that's going to be on the plans next year. I want to make a raised circular garden in back of the house, in the area that has the greatest illumination and the highest chance of the longest hours of sunshine. I know exactly where that's going to be. Anyway, I'll take a picture of what I'm doing, share it to you guys. www.insideview.ie is the blog. There's a Flickr photo stream that's linked to it. If you click nearly any image on the blog, you'll go into the main photo stream. And you'll see the garden, freshly weeded, ready for hanging and purring a month. Burn back garden boo. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
We've been thinking on the sideshow, and there has been some changes in tow. And as we go for the Spirit of Folk Festival weekend, this, I suppose, is the call out to you at home. Bearing in mind, we've got modern technology. We are available in podcast and live online all around the globe. It's so easy, should you wish to get in touch and give us your feedback in audio or on the Twitter sphere or on Facebook or whatever the case may be. And we may as well take, I suppose, maybe it's not the right word, but advantage of it. And that was Bernie Goldbach's way of getting in touch with me and the sideshow and saying, hey, here's what's happening in my garden. And it's a really nice way of doing so. It's a really great way of doing it. And it kind of changes the dynamic. It becomes your show. So head to audioboo.fm or go to your iPhone or go to your Android phone and download the Audio Boo app. And record from the free audio account a less than 3 minute segment and mail it on to us. And if it fits in with this show or what's happening in your garden, I mean, can you imagine us getting 2-3 reports, one from the United States, one from England, and one from, you know, D. Sewell's country once every 2-3 weeks? Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it change it? As a by the way, you may also notice a new voice on the radio this week, and that is Mr. Niall O'Keefe, legendary DJ, as the pebbles crunch beneath my feet. And this, my good friends, is where I leave you for this week's sod show. Next weekend will be a very, very different show. And as I love and leave you and head off and get ready for my performance tomorrow in the ecology area, the green area of the Spirit of Folk Festival, if you are there again, do come and say hello. What time am I on at, Niall? What's the details again?
I believe it's 1:30, Peter.
And I suppose, Niall, you should probably say hello, if nothing else.
Well, actually, it'd be more appropriate right now to say goodbye. Because that's it from the Sod Show for this week. Back again here on Dublin City FM next Friday at 3 p.m. And don't forget, of course, to check us out on podcast on iTunes. And more information can be found on sodshow.com. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.